Watson Hall presents.
You're go for APU shutdown on time.
You're go for deploy.
300 AD, I am.
Recommend a vector transfer to the BFS.
Roger the problem.
Right, where were we?
Do you need a recap?
Well, yes. I think our listener will be devastated without a recap, and it gives me the chance to jot down some of the stuff for Roger.
We'd concluded that the robots are in need of selenium. We did some more drawing to experiment, and we concluded that they need selenium for the nutrient feeds. It seemed to be, you know, a selenium deficiency appeared to be an issue. The Bayern researchers reckoned that this particular asteroid belt had an unusual lack of selenium, but we had seen some a few days travel back. So we provided a sample of selenium, which the robots sort of tested and then put in the hatch and seemed to want more.
There was a specific spot elsewhere in the machinery spaces which briefly got warm shortly after that.
Yes, I remember we were monitoring temperature. While we were doing so, Dr. Rash had a bit of a stroll around and discovered something flowing up his suit, a kind of glistening ooze.
Flowing out.
He got the robot's attention and it zapped the ooze, which flowed away again, and went down a grating. But Radish did manage to collect a sample from sort of some gel that was left adhering to his suit. We went away for a couple of days and did some mining. While that was going on, the boffins did some testing. The fluid seemed to be some sort of cytoplasm type material. We returned with some heat packs and stun batons and a small amount of selenium to try and
a slightly larger amount while you've sent off Jörg Bauer to do a day's mining back at the previous system and then bring back what they get.
Yeah, we didn't want to bring a significant proportion of our own selenium.
Yeah, so we've sent off the people to do more serious mining, and we've provided some of the stuff we already had. The robot put it into the kind of circulatory system type opening, and we put a probe in. Thank you, Jethro, to tiny little probelet. To follow it and got, okay, there's some pipes in there, but we couldn't get very much else. We've got a heat pack active, but we have so far failed to attract any oozes to it. I think that was about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can't work out what it is that attracted the ooze to me just yet.
And Radish was talking about doing strange and mentionable things to the robots.
Yes.
Yeah, but he always does that.
What were they doing this time? Which robots were they? Remind me.
And the way with Radish, it's as if he's just come off a full weekend bender and everybody's having to explain to him what happened.
After the third gin preemptive strike, it all gets a little bit fuzzy.
So,
So we're currently on board, aren't we, with our little probes, and we've tried the heat pack, didn't work. What was I going to do to the robots?
No. Got enough. I didn't write down probably for, you know, the sake of posterity.
I mean, we seem to evolve the phrase, tell us about this human concept you call love, but...
Yes, well... So, we'd sort of decided... Well, we don't know how many of these things there are. Whether there's just one of them and we'd attracted it with our
rank
and a clamour, or whether... It seems to be some kind of amoeboid creature. But we don't know how... If it wasn't heat, could it have been movement? Maybe it just takes a while to get where we are.
Mm-hmm. So I think Felix is basically keeping an eye on the heat pack in case there's any sign of movement.
So somebody want to make a zoology roll?
Ooh.
Hello.
Come on, Dr. Radish.
Are you that sort of doctor?
Right up my radish. I am that sort of doctor.
Good.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Roger. And if you reply intelligence, I shall swear at you.
Into Radu.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. Oh, that'll be a 10 rolled plus 3. So 13.
Okay, yep, that will certainly do. If it were movement, presumably it would go for the robots.
Yes, good point. But they float in the air, don't they? Could it be vibration?
No, sometimes they float, sometimes they haul themselves along with little spidery limbs.
Okay, so that wouldn't work. Why heat made the most sense.
Are we...
The eggs do at least... they're a little bit warmer than background, but nothing like as much as you or the robots are.
Yeah, I thought the robots weren't super hot.
No.
I thought we were hotter.
Oh, yeah. That would be it overall. Sorry, Bob, you were asking something.
Sorry?
Mark was asking me something, but I interrupted.
So, are we venting anything?
You are dumping heat overboard so that you don't die, as discussed.
But we're not,
session.
Venting gases.
No, correct. There may be a bit of trace here and there, but nothing significant.
So what else could have clued it into me being there? Unless it was a visual thing, but
sound.
Then why would it be waiting there?
Sound.
Well, that's vibration, basically, isn't it? Yeah. It's the same thing.
Psychic waves?
Let's look for one of those gratings to start with. If it came, it went into a grating, possibly it came out of a grating.
Yeah, but I thought the gratings were quite ubiquitous in these places.
Fair few, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, yeah, whatever.
How it's travelling around, though, isn't it? That's...
Could it be electricity?
The whole ship.
Mind you, there's loads of the robots that have that, and these things are running on power.
But is it registering a change? Because the environment has obviously got loads of electricity. We've got it passing through areas, we've got it accumulated in areas with things like the robots. But what about fluctuations? Have the lights or anything reacted to us? I can't remember.
Well, I don't think there are lights, are there? Or...
Try to think back and imagine what was happening.
I could recreate.
There definitely were some lights coming on when you entered spaces.
Oh, okay.
Trying to picture, you know, we're there. I was drawing something on the wall. Dr. Radish was walking off. How did you feel at that moment, Dr. Radish?
Rather upset because something tried to eat my leg.
C- did not try to just before eat that, the leg.
I'm just wondering, is it? Could it be? If it, you've mentioned a psychic thing, could it be an emotional reaction?
Psychic phenomenon.
Do you think?
And
you...
what degree of what sort of information and what energy pattern would power some kind of psychic phenomenon? Perhaps.
I'm not a doctor.
Perhaps in motion.
No, well, I am a doctor of physics. And
an increase in brain activity by some deeply felt emotion, you know, like...
there is psychic...
Is inadequacy an emotion?
Actually, that's a valid point. I can't remember. Is psychic stuff an actual real thing in 2300?
Not in
2300,
no. Doesn't mean we don't believe it.
No. But it just could, means it, you are
could it be...
We've not encountered sort of the Zodani yet, then.
Measurable...
Could not, be a different universe.
Bioelectrical pattern?
Somewhat kind of pattern?
Some sort of measurable bioelectrical pattern prompted my emotion?
Well, how would that get through the... It would have to have an extremely sensitive nervous system, and this thing didn't... It was just a big cell, as far as I could tell. Maybe, but it seems... Why would it look particularly for human... That seems very unlikely.
It's not necessarily looking for human, that, is it? What if it's picking up whatever it is, if it's like electrical activity or something?
But how would the chances of an alien life form having exactly the kind of pattern that it's looking for? It seems unlikely. I mean, I'll try and walk over here.
I'm not saying I think it's likely. I'm just trying to run through the possibilities of what things could it have sensed.
Yeah.
Mark, give me a recon roll, would you?
You know, what things could it not have sensed? What can we eliminate?
Well, gases. We weren't venting any gaseous material. I think the electrics that we'd be giving off would all be masked by the suit, I would have thought.
I mean, you're not completely null, but apart from anything else, your suit-to-suit comm radio would be.
Maybe radio waves. It could have been. But I wasn't talking at the time, and it went straight for me.
Was it? Sorry, was that me, recon?
No, that was Mark.
So, int?
If you like.
Okay, so that's 10.
Okay. It's quite hard to make out. You're maybe not quite sure when you first spot it, but there is a sort of silvery line connecting the top of Felix's helmet with that grating up there. It seems to be flying downwards.
Ah.
What Felix does, or the silvery line?
The silvery line.
Okay.
Doesn't he do this in Gross Point Blank when he's trying to assassinate somebody?
Get the shock button out.
And he turns
and
over.
Waft it over Felix's head.
Okay. Felix,
terribly convincing.
What's the armor rating of your suit?
My suit, the vac suit is protection 7.
Oh yeah, that'll be plenty. There is a sort of snatching sensation at your helmet as Jethro waves this thing over your head. And then you feel fine. Jethro, you see the thing has rapidly retracted what it could, and the rest is there is a goopy patch on Felix's helmet.
You're doing very well, Nick.
Quick, Radish, get your get one of your sample.
What happened? Thanks. What is it? Contact. Get out a sample pot.
We always forget to look up, don't we?
Are there any more of these? What was it you saw? What was it?
Space?
There was a silvery thread coming down.
I shall stand under the grating and think as hard as possible.
Is there any damage to the top of the suit?
I will, yes, before you do that.
Yes, before I do that. Let's see if there's a hole
I will check to make sure that his suit is still fully functional.
Can anyone smell bacon?
Okay, Jester, give me a vac suit. Felix, for what it's worth, none of your telltales are saying anything is wrong.
At least that's what my brain is doing.
Yes, that's right. Remain calm, all is
You have 300 years of oxygen left. This is just fine.
Alright, I'll just double check to make sure. It is 3, yeah. It's either 10 or 11, depending on whether it's...
Okay, you cannot see any sign of damage.
Okay, brilliant.
Went straight for my head.
But that's because, I mean, just like it went straight for Radish's foot, that's because it's coming out of the gratings and they're not at chest height, are they?
How high is this ceiling in here?
I can't remember the number. I think we said it was a 2 or 3 metre cylinder overall.
Right.
Probably three.
So the thing's up there somewhere.
You got?
We found it.
Tiny.
It or them?
Probes
or is it
that could get in there, Jethro?
Sorry?
You got anything? Any tiny probes that could fit in there? Into that grating?
No, have you? My little probe that I brought along specifically to stick down the orifice is gone.
He's in the orifice,
So the drones that I've got are probably slightly bigger than the ball than the ones that are on the side.
Could do with those flexible cameras like Dino Rod use.
Endoscope.
And then some kind of endoscope. Surely we could have little Wi-Fi cameras nowadays, like B size or something.
Yep. I mean, having them is one thing. Remembering to bring them with you. And
no!
There's
one. Can I just point out?
I know you've got one, but I'm just saying if we had.
There's one down there.
Was equipped.
If you want to go down and get it, feel free.
Not really, no.
I'm keeping an eye on the ceiling. Any change on the tricorder, Roger? He says.
Well, yeah, no tries available. No tries inside.
There are occasional sounds. Some of those you think may well be the transport system that you've seen the robots using. Some of them may be these creatures. It's not clear.
See, that could be a slip. Creatures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're assuming more than one.
I'm assuming more than one, yes.
Can we get out this grating?
It's up ahead. It's about a 3 metre space internally, 4 metre external on the tube.
Have we got any ladders?
It could boost you up there.
Yeah.
What's the gravity like on the show? It was quite low, wasn't it?
Very low.
Yeah. I'll boost you up.
Yeah, just have a jump.
Have a look.
Jump up, put your finger. Hold on.
In fact, you've got magnetic boots. Can't you do a slow turn in mid flight and then land on the ceiling?
Possibly.
That way you'd have your hands
your leg too.
Down, really, I think. Consensus reality would suggest down.
Yeah, so you've got about a 20th of a G. So things will gradually drift downwards, but not in any rush.
What do I see if I inspect the grating up close?
Okay, so you're basically getting up to it and looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's not obviously damaged. There's a little bit of viscous trail through one of the grid holes.
Does it look removable?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would like to remove it.
Like your head.
Oh, how big is the grating? Actually, because if it's like this big, that's a good point.
Let's see. what would it be? 70 by 70 centimetre, roughly?
Yeah, let's try and remove the grating so we can have a look inside.
Okay, it takes a bit of wiggling around. There's obviously some sort of catch that is clearly entirely standard. Everybody knows it. But with a bit of working, you can eventually get it to pop loose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At that point, I say very nicely to Felix, do not stick your head in there, Felix. You put this in instead, and I basically pass him up a drone.
It's cheaper than you.
It's
dangerous to go alone. Take this.
Carefully place it. I avoid standing directly under the grating and carefully put the drone camera inside.
Okay, I mean, it's a duct, is the most obvious initial thing. Let's see. Yeah, basically, metal surfaces. You've got a fair few cables, and judging by the way they brought you off, these may well be cables that feed the upper tier of eggs. Well, both upper tiers, left and right.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's nothing moving in here. It is not illuminated. Except by whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll put up some kind of light. No sign of anything.
Right, let me just see how big the micro drone is. I don't think that matter. There, that's four. It's got a speed. What it hasn't got is a size.
Well, if it's called micro,
very
drone,
small,
I mean, that's,
I
that's
would
got
have
to
thought.
Be tiny. Hasn't it, really?
At least as small as a microcomputer.
Yeah, or a microwave oven.
Yes, exactly.
That's in the 2300 core book, is it?
It's in the arms robot. It's under robots and drones.
Yeah, which book?
It is in the, hang on, bear with me a second, characters and equipment.
Okay.
Yeah, so core rule book one.
Yeah.
Bless them. They've got attack drones in here. Why would I want an attack drone? All I want is the drone to tell me where the thing is, and then I'll attack it.
Why would you let that... let someone else have all the fun?
Well, this is it.
Okay, I think I will declare this to be ripped off from the film that it looks ripped off from. That being Runaway.
Mm-hmm.
So, sort of big fist sized, plus the legs.
Okay.
It would certainly fit down this duct.
Yeah. Felix, just stick it up there.
Oh.
And it will float along. Because we've actually got better signal than I was expecting. I've probably got a couple more of those than I was expecting to have. Not a massive number, but I would potentially have enough to be able to do signal relaying.
Just, Mason Raj, just keep an eye out. It's always possible while we're preoccupied with this, another one will slip out from somewhere else.
Good point. I shall drop into an alert crouch and scan the area. Okay, that's as long as I can crouch for. I'll now stand up. And,
well, space needs. No, you can crouch for longer because it's low gravity.
Gravity problems, have you?
Imagine.
Low gravity crouching. I can do squat thrusts.
You don't need to show us.
I am wearing trousers. Actually, I'm wearing shorts today.
Same.
Yeah.
Not the same. No, there are definitely circumstances where they're not the same.
No, I mean, I'm also wearing shorts.
Oh, I see. Oh, wow.
Making the most of it. Since at work, I will have to wear official-looking trousers again.
You're not allowed to wear the pucker Bermuda shorts.
No.
And the gaiters.
It is unprofessional.
Not gaiters.
And inappropriate in an educational environment. And egregiously offensive.
Wow.
How many more things did they say to you?
Loads. Yeah. I thought my sweary duck Hawaiian shirts were perfectly work appropriate.
Sound good.
Yeah. I don't actually have sweary duck Hawaiian shirts, but I'm imagining them.
I'm sure John can hook you up.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something like that around.
And now I'm just picturing the cover art from Ducks. That would definitely be inappropriate in an educational environment. unless it was a veterinary school, in which case it is educational.
Ducks.
Mother Ducker.
There we go.
Wait, oops.
Aha.
I mean, it looks like a rip-off to me. Also, I enjoyed the film way more than I probably should have.
Which film is this?
Runaway.
That is Tom Selleck, by the way, on the left.
Tom Selleck's moustache is...
Yes, no, it's not Tom Selleck on the right.
Runaway is also a significant fraction of Gene Simmons' acting career, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know Gene Simmons had an acting career.
I think that was pretty much it.
Okay.
Well... I mean, on stage with Kiss, I think, is it's all acting, isn't it?
Oh
God! Very,
I will say I that really I
anybody who can lick his own eyeball can't be bad.
Well,
I don't know.
Peter
Falk
could have done that.
Well, he was a nice guy too.
I appreciated the fact that Gene Simmons was just over the top with the whole thing. I mean, he was terrible, but it would have been awful if it had just not been over
Gene
the
Simmons.
Top and crazy as well.
Mm.
You know, I felt it at least gave the film something. That something was not credibility or any sense of entertainment to the audience, but it gave us something.
But somebody has sprinkled hamburger sauce on all the scenery, and that scenery is damn well going to get chewed.
Ah, the Casper Van Diem of the movie.
No, it's Runaway, the one where they've got the guns that shoot round corners.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Homing bullets.
And the incredibly...
Gyrox.
Incredibly lethal robots that you couldn't really just stroll away from.
Absolutely not.
I haven't watched it for such a long time.
I actually saw it not that long ago.
I haven't seen Runaway.
Anyway, I think we're distracting people from the plot.
Maybe just a little bit. Right, you've got the drone into the passageway.
Okay. Can the drone see the mucus?
Sorry about the barking, by the way.
That's all right. Danny, can you see the mucus?
Danny is protecting the house from the horrifying post.
On Saturday, our guest cat objected strongly to the very loud and large pigeons that were flying over, otherwise known as four Eurofighters that had just come out of London for Trooping of the Colour.
At least people turned up for that one. Question.
Right, yeah, yes it can. It's... I think these are basically cheap expendable sensors. They're not the best cameras you could get on a thing like this. But they will manage something like that. Mm. There doesn't seem to be a trail along the corridor or other direction, though, to anticipate your next question.
Hmm.
Yes, he has gone very quiet very suddenly.
I just reminded of Chris when she was a mother of young children. There is that moment of the child going thump, 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 thump down the stairs. And then or equivalent. And then there is the silence, which is when one goes grey. And then there is the wail, and then everything is all right.
Yeah, if they're crying, it's generally not too bad.
It's not a criteria that we use, to be honest, in my profession, but I'll bear it in mind if your file ever comes across my desk.
But no, it still works as a scout leader. If they're making a noise, well, in fact, actually a first aider in general, they're making a lot of noise, generally they're not that bad. You go to the quiet ones first.
It's still frowned on. Is the kid all right while they're making a noise? A little bit more than that is necessary.
Also, you know. No arterial spray.
Yeah, well, this is it.
I can't hear you say scout leader, Mark, without thinking, I haven't had as much sex since I was a scout leader. I'm sorry.
It reminds me of the one we had in customer service for libraries, which was if someone's getting really ticked off with you, because this was when we still charge fines, getting really ticked off with you and, you know, going bright red, okay, that's fine. If they then suddenly go white, you take two steps sharply to the rear. That's when their brain is going, I am about to punch someone.
I have decided how to resolve this rage.
I shall redirect all of this blood from my face into core body parts.
Well, we all like a library, don't we?
Useful tip. So you really don't like paying fines?
What does the drone see?
An empty corridor.
Yep.
Got that shark song in my head now.
We'll just keep it following.
Any trace of anything? Has it got a heat vision thing?
I don't think so. Let me just pass the page.
It's got thermal.
Okay, fair enough.
It's 12, is it? Sorry.
It's got
It's got audio sensor, camouflage, audio improved, visual improved, recon, thermal, transceiver, which is the feed and relay, visual spectrum sensor,
I've got it here. Yeah, that should be fine then.
It's a good bit of kit. I mean, it's designed as what I kind of use it for, which is basically we're going into somewhere, so I'll leave one at the entrance, I'll leave one at each, thing, and it's designed basically to act as a receiving relay, go ahead of me.
Is this corridor, not corridor, ducts, whatever it is, is it big enough for us to fit in our seat?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't stand up straight, but you could work your way through it. You'd probably be on hands and knees.
Radish,
I'm just wondering if the need arises.
Fly the drone in here. The air is rather colder than it's really rated for, but yeah, it's fine, at least in the short term.
I'll fly it along.
Mm-hmm. Any particular direction? I mean, the way you came or further on?
Is there a way to tell the mucus, which is a fresher?
There is no visible mucus in the ducts except as it was passing through this grid.
No, any scratches or anything like that? Spend a bit of.
Okay, so poking around a bit. It's pretty not obvious.
When the thing came out and caressed Radish, was that in front? What direction was that to us?
He had gone further down the corridor than the rest of you had.
Let us go down in that direction then.
Okay. Goes along. You get to. After a bit, the end of this tube, there is an iris which clearly can close but has not. And then it lets you out into a similar space which is apparently part of the inner works of the bundle hubs.
Any sign of any mucus or anything there?
No.
Bizarre.
It's going to take us a while to track this thing down, isn't it?
Seems to be able to move surprisingly fast as well.
It has taken us a while to get up there and put this thing out.
Well, the thing is it's something that's kind of crawling along, or is it extending itself and then able to recoil, you know?
These are good questions.
Obviously, I've not really got enough drones at the moment to do it, but I mean, we could go back to the ship. I could come back with a couple of hundred drones, and we could actually spend a couple of hours doing a proper mapping protocol.
If you think that would be useful. Have we got that many drones, or are we going to have to actually make some?
You could fab some up. It might take a little while.
Just wondering about the timing.
Well,
how long do we wait? We've got a while yet, haven't
we? You've got at least a few days before Georg Bauer gets back.
Yeah.
Maybe that's safer than us just blundering around, yeah.
Well, it's less dramatic, though, isn't it?
It is, but...
I'd like you to picture the film Aliens, but they send in a load of drones and watch the results from orbit.
Yeah, actually take off and nuke the site from orbit.
Just look a bit dangerous.
Yeah, we don't actually have to take off, we just have any 17 of the drones hug each other really closely.
Whenever we get into this kind of mode, I'm also always cautious because I'm thinking, now, is this something that the scenario designers completely failed to account for? And we are forcing Roger
we
to let us chase
badly.
A tiny thread.
Let's role play.
I won't stop.
I think that Jethro's suggestion is a sensible one, certainly. Mm. And it seems like it's practical.
I have to say, I mean, this thing's big. and we'd just be blundering around. Yeah, I mean the space.
Well, we don't know how much of it
in.
We don't know how much of it we can get into ourselves.
Mm. Yeah,
that's the thing. The area that we could actually peek into might not work out being that big at all, and so it's got all the rest to itself.
And we are vulnerable flesh bags. So
is it.
Well, it so I mean, it may survive.
We don't know what kind of damage it takes from anything, really.
We know it didn't like electric.
How can it, you know, about how could it regenerate, perhaps? Mm. Until we know that something can put it down for a while, we need to be careful.
Mm. I mean, thinking about this, how valuable an avenue of scientific inquiry do we think this is? I mean, my instinct
is... A new
is,
alien species?
Well, my instinct is certainly this is a novel alien species that appears to be able to live in spacecraft. It seems like the kind of thing we should
and
investigate.
Trousers. Yeah.
And trousers. But, you know...
It didn't live in my trousers.
What do you folks think?
Gave it a damn good try, though, didn't it? Yeah, I think it's important to get more knowledge from both a safety point of view and, you know, pure science.
Think
we
so.
Also we don't know if it's intelligent.
I think what is wise though is not risking our lives unnecessarily. If we've got hundreds of drones,
absolutely, yeah. I just, you know, before we continue spending lots of time, I thought I should perhaps raise that. You know,
I think the answer is you don't right now, but you can.
That's what we're here for.
Let's
isn't
head
it?
Back then.
Can I point out the caveat that hundreds of drones will get us a lot further than we currently are at. It will not get us looking at the whole of this ship.
No, of course it won't.
No, but it'll be
but
much
more than
efficient
we could possibly
than us
do on our own. Even if we split the party. And if you've got one that can go in and have a look through that little hole in the wall, we might be able to find out something very unpleasant.
Hmm.
There is something that's gone down the hole. It's just that I can't get a signal.
Yeah. Well, something perhaps that's tethered, so we can get a signal, you know. We're a cable, not necessarily relying on what I'm sure is a very poor Bluetooth reception in this area.
So just for reference, with these micro-drones specifically, they do have to have somebody guiding them, or at least one of them, but you can tell drones, you know, 2 to 99, follow this one, and they will basically flock and keep going.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then say, stop here, stop. One of them stops there, and then I send the rest off, then one of them stops there.
Yeah.
And I can still send a signal. I mean, that's basically what I've been doing up until now, anyway.
So we need to come over with some screens and things to...
Well, I mean, I've got...
Set up a little observation post.
So I've got the guidance stuff up in my armour.
But you can't keep track of that many and still see where you're going, can you?
And the way you'd expect to use all the battlefield is you control one drone and the rest follow it. So
if we're going to have different feeds coming back, it would make sense to have a number of screens with at least one or two people having a look at those.
Does
as
anybody,
well as the ones that you're controlling.
Does anybody else have remote sensors? Oh, not remote sensors.
Electronic
sensors. I've got sensors. I've got comms sensors. Yeah.
I think that's the one I've got.
Electronic sensors, sorry, and electronic comms.
Oh, no, on comms, not sensors.
Yeah, remote ops is the one you would ideally want those sensors would help. Mm,
yeah.
Yeah. But if I jack
that, of course, would be the one I don't have. Oh, I've got that. Yeah. But I'm better at the actual skill.
Yes, you guys have a remarkably higher level of jack of all trades than the other party.
Because we master of none of them.
Yep, that's me. But okay, well shall we go and collect more drones then?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
But just policy question, by the way, in case this happens. Obviously, we saw the robot collected what appeared to be a dead, I'm going to say octopoid.
Yes.
From one of these pods. If that happens again, in theory, it might be possible for us to intercept it and take the octopoid away for analysis. In, obviously, a suitably secure form.
But...
is that something? Well, just so we don't have to make a decision on the spot. What? How do we want to react to that situation?
Right, we're presuming, I think, that the robots have got a limited level of sort of, you know, they may not necessarily be completely self-aware, intelligent, all that. So we can presume from that that they're following instructions, in which case they are supposed to be doing what they're doing, or it's some sort of reactive protocol to something that's happened. Mm-hmm. So that it's either
can
not
we
things
just...
worse or they're misinterpreting something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if it's supposed to be feeding stuff into that hole, then we could potentially be endangering whatever on the other side.
Good point.
Now, I know we all think that it's an absolutely huge grue living in the darkness there, and none of us want to go, but...
Might not be.
You know, it might not be, he says. It is, isn't it? I mean, we all think it is.
I think probably just about as you're in the stage of packing up to leave, the probe operators back on Bayern say we got three separate sites now warming up after that second sample you delivered.
Hmm. Right.
Any close to us?
They're all relatively close to you. One of them's more or less directly overhead. The others are nearby.
Let's go.
You don't think this is just something to deliberately keep us on board? He says with a couple of, you know, suitcase under his arm. I mean, we're practically leaving.
No kneecaps.
I don't think anything is clever enough to realise that.
When you say it's above us, it's in the...
Further towards the centre of the ship.
Yeah, so we can't get to it at the moment.
Well, you haven't, to be fair, you haven't really tried. That there were passageways upwards in the binding bands.
Mm-hmm. I thought we'd give it a try. I want to see what is getting this selenium.
All right, let's go for it. Lead the way, Jethro.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he's got all the gear. He'll be so disappointed if he can't use it without shooting through.
He did
night.
Say you were keen
wouldn't
on shooting.
Wouldn't even slow him down, would it?
Oh. Okay,
I'm
so...
I'm very sorry.
So military apology.
In GURPS, I would be asking for characters with absolute direction or 3D spatial sense, but in 2300 we don't have that, so not to worry. You can only remember to leave luminous markers on the corridors as you go down them.
We were marking off turnings and things, weren't we?
And to be honest, I'm going to suggest that with my armour and stuff, I can. It's got little things like a minimal, like a find
where I parked feature,
yeah,
basically.
A minimal mapping program or something of that.
Mm-hmm. Is it like a navigation role?
See, well, as a Tunnels and Trolls player, I do always assume that I need like a stick of chalk to mark where I am in the dungeon. So that's what I was doing before. I'm pretty certain I even mentioned it.
Yeah, I think I
may have said Sharpie because this is the future.
Yeah, I think I was going to say it was a marker pen.
Doesn't calcium ignite in this kind of thing? No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's a space Sharpie that works at minus 140, but yeah.
Of course. It works as a reasonably effective hand-to-hand weapon.
The space pen actually does work down at that level. It is amazingly over-engineered. It's wonderful.
That bullshit always irritates me. That, and the Russians had a pencil. Well, that's not true, and they would have created graphite dust, would have shorted out the electric. Mm. So, anyway.
There's really no need for it to bother you as much as it
does bother me.
Does.
Yeah, me too. And that is why we have a successful podcast. Successful as in at least one person is listening to it.
Okay. I will listen to it.
The editor, Mr.
In the fullness of time.
The reason I was talking about finding your way is that while in this outer area, you have this circumferential corridor and the series of hatches and so on, and it's all fairly plain to work out how to get to where. Once you get through the upper hatches and into what I will call the machinery spaces, it's still big enough to move through. It's a little cramped because
it's going to be harder to put markers on.
Okay. Are you doing your estate agent shop?
Okay.
Is it the Bijou corridor?
And this is where we stop, gentlemen. This is what drones were. Yeah. This is what drones are for.
Yeah,
I'm
not
you.
Playing silly buggers with this. Sorry.
So I'm with you. Knowledge and all that, but
the chance of us being ambushed up here is way, way, way too high.
So the basically, the spaces you're moving through are much like the other hatches and passages and so on that you've seen are sized for somebody about a metre and a half tall.
Yeah.
So it's bloody. So for me, wearing full combat armour, it's bloody annoying. That's all I can say. Mm-hmm.
But you're probably not breaking off too many bits as you go past.
Wow.
In space, nobody can hear you. Dung.
Somebody give me a little.
Go on, Nick. Give us a dung.
I've done a crunch instead as your knee collapses.
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, what was that, Roger?
Somebody give me an electronics remote ops.
Not me then.
Is that the sensors?
Electronics? No, it's remote ops specifically.
It's a separate one. Okay, I haven't got that then.
So that is 9.
Okay. Right, so a couple of your drones get
to... By the way, can I just say, normally, as a colonel, I have minions to do this. Can you, I haven't done this for 20 years.
I could say
years.
Bottom a lot more than I do, if that would help.
I haven't done this for 20 years.
Well, look on the bright side.
Would not have paid you for a good minion.
If you structure the rest of the party now, then by the end of the mission, they may be ready to enter basic training.
Well, okay.
Maybe. Or even radish.
Maybe. Hey.
So you have eyes, or at least drone cameras, on two of the warmed areas. You would not mistake this for machinery you're familiar with, but you can still say, yeah, it does seem to be machinery in some sense. And specifically, it's got a bunch of pipes and cables and so on feeding into it. Mm-hmm. And what is feeding out of it appears to be fibre optic cable, which is being caught up on a spool.
Oh, so it's not, you're not saying it's static, it's actually reeling out.
Yeah.
Onto a spool.
Oh.
So it's not emitting signals along a cable, it's actually creating a cable.
Reeling out a cable.
Yeah.
Laying a cable.
This machine is the thing that got warm.
Okay.
And it appears to be producing fibre optic cable.
Oh, interesting.
Do you mean producing as in manufacturing?
Yes.
So it's not just reeling it out, it's making it as it goes along.
After a bit, maybe there's a lot of cable stored internally, but after a bit, the spool looks a bit full, the cable is snipped off, one of those mobile robots takes away the spool and puts on another one. It continues.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't expecting that. Thoughts?
No. Well, that would explain why they need the selenium.
Is that a big component of fibre optic cable?
I mean, it's a kind of dead-end explanation, isn't it? It's part of the explanation.
Yeah, why is it making enormous quantities of fibre optic?
Is there any way we can tap into this fibre optic cable?
All of their missiles
and
are fibre optic controlled. That's what.
Is this a BT internet van?
Is this OpenReach?
Well, they're working much more quickly than
your OpenReach.
You take that back.
Adversarial GM at its finest.
Can we then intercept whatever data is going down this?
The cable is not connected to anything. It's just wound onto a spool.
As far as I can see, it is manufacturing cable onto a spool.
The other end?
Then it gets cut off and there's just a spool of cable. Live cable.
Which a robot is taking away to somewhere else. Do you want to send a drone after that? Or?
Yes, yeah. Let's find out what it's taking.
Yeah, let's chase the cable.
Okay, I will leave another remote ops role to follow it effectively.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just record. I'm going to record this that we're looking at.
Oh, everything gets recorded.
While the drone is...
8.
This is a game in which you should never need to say, I turned on the recorder.
But we're going to be the subject of documentaries for generations to come.
I mean, so, you may want to make an art photography role, but...
I'm going to
waste money on this image.
I'm going to write the book about it afterwards.
So that's 8, so it's not brilliant.
That will get the job done. I mean, it's not trying to evade you or anything. Okay, it moves to... probably it's one of the outer edges of one of the binding rings. It's one that appears to have taken quite serious damage from whatever damaged the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it is stringing, it splices one end of the cable to an existing piece and then starts stringing it through the structure.
Okay.
Does that mean this thing's unfinished?
Well, no.
Undergoing repair.
Or expansion. Mm. Or modification. We really don't know, do we?
Is there anything else you use a fiber? It's just for data transfer. There's nothing else you can use a fiber.
Have we got in...
power density down them.
No, but you can get an awful lot of data.
Oh, yeah.
I'll suggest there's something down that way that produces data.
Oh, a ship this size is going to produce an awful lot of data just by being...
Is it worth considering...
Oh! Who had the idea that this was a big virtual reality thing?
You, maybe?
You...
No, it was about two or three...
We were talking about the Matrix.
It might have been me. I don't remember.
But it does feel virtual reality. The amount of data...
That's true. That'll be low power, high data.
Enough to basically keep you going, and then basically, you know, you're wandering around.
Mm.
Every so often, you just spear off, and basically because you're eaten.
I am tempted to go and try and find out what's at the other end of that cable.
What about one of these...
Well, can we leave the probe here? The drone.
What about if we could go down to one of the empty coffins, for want of a better word, and see what? I thought we asked this last time though, and see what data is going into it.
No, there wasn't any, was there? Not with the empty coffins.
I think I may be misrecalling this. I think you. Looked at the ones that seemed to be still active, and they are basically nestled up against the wall. You couldn't really get much information in there. I mean, there certainly are data runs there. They do not look like super high bandwidth ones, but who knows what an alien fiber optic cable can carry.
Yeah, and the damaged ones had pipes for data as well as for fluids.
Yeah.
Now, you were assuming that was bio-reading.
If you were looking at one of your own hibernation pods, for example, that would be quite similar.
Mm.
If you wanted to provide full virtual reality, it could do it. But this one is just easier to stick one of those cables.
This
is
not
the only reason you would use a cable like this is because you need lots. It might be valid, might be not. You can't really say.
Well, let's see if we can. They have a big need to transfer a lot of data, or they're just stopped. Maybe they're like paperclip AIs, and they've been told, you know, it's just a
make cable.
Yeah, make cable.
But what if they're expanding the pods?
Well,
and these things aren't automatically wired in. They sort of reconfigure the thing or extend it.
Could be.
I mean, either way, I want to leave one of the. I want to leave the drone here, keeping an eye on get it just to follow the. Can I do that, or is it, if you're
to follow the new cable runners, it's laid. You will need to be actively controlling it.
Okay, well, let's do that then. Let's find out where it's going.
But there's a bit of the ship.
I'll follow for a little bit, and then I'll just leave it.
Okay, is it worth us getting to the centre of the ship then, which we haven't really?
Well, don't forget, the centre of the ship is a Bussard ramjet.
Well, okay, in further in not, to
not
the ship.
Not necessarily, we've been through some options.
Yeah, we don't want to be there if that goes off, but should we try getting...
It might just be the garbage accelerator.
One enormous railgun, for moons.
I mean, you wouldn't need a lot of data for that, would you?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, a Bussard ramjet also works as in a massively fast... a massively large railgun, depending on what you're putting in it.
Right.
Okay. I mean, reaction drives
and which way it's pointing.
All reaction drives, by their nature, are basically about throwing things away fast. So,
yeah.
And yes, depending on where you point that, it could be a worth it. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I think we need to find out the data that they need this cable for. So could we follow it to the... Sorry.
That's what I think, yeah. I think we try and get to where the data is coming from.
Oh, okay, so you're meant to go back the way we came.
Okay, so you could either do this with a drone or with one of you. You could retrace the steps of following the robot that was carrying the spool till you get to where it spliced.
Mm.
And then maybe follow that cable in the other direction, something like that.
That was basically the idea, yeah. Suppose obviously we could try and tap into it and get some signal out, but that seems
it's doable.
Unnecessarily destructive.
It's doable, but you actually are talking of some very specific bits of kit that I haven't got with me.
I'm certainly not a standard fit.
But if you remember, we're heading back to the ship.
I'm certainly not a standard fit on the drones.
Mm. I think we go and check this out.
Mm. Okay.
Mason, what do you reckon?
Yeah, let's check it now. We don't need tons more drones at the minute.
So what we might call the old cable is basically continues to run along the circumference until it gets to until it joins onto what is obviously a larger data bundle, and that runs up through conduits too narrow for the micro drone to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's definitely going to more towards the machinery spaces. The newly laid cable is basically getting taps taken off it, one per tube.
Mm-hmm.
And that is being plumbed into existing data cables. That basically this whole section has been damaged by whatever damaged the ship, and that connecting cable appears to have been one of the casualties.
And this is the first thing that they're putting back.
Yes. And after a bit, after maybe half an hour altogether, the cable making machine stops.
Okay, so it's not doing it permanently.
Halfway through a spool.
Oh, they've run out of selenium.
Very important then.
Question back to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Where they picked up the hotspots. Was that by a damaged area each time?
No, it was three areas roughly evenly spaced that basically as close to you as... Well, the closest was directly above you, and then the two adjacent ones to that, possibly.
Oh, perhaps... So there are a number of these manufacturing stations around the vessel, which would
there'll be hundreds.
One thing you would definitely get, even not knowing the tech, this is obviously a machine that is built to keep running not need maintenance over a really quite long period.
I mean, it is incredible.
Some
the
kind
amount
of self-repair
thing. I mean, the amount of redundancy in it is incredible, and the amount of it's easy self-repair.
Okay, so do we want to be... I think we should find out what it's using this for before we load it up with a ton more selenium.
Right. I think so.
So, let's go back to the ship, which Mason will be really pleased at.
Mm-hmm.
As we're leaving, basically say, look, I need a shed load more drones. I need to take at least a couple of hundred over with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you guys get some sleep, we can put together a load more overnight.
If I can
fresh air, you know.
If I can get any drone operators, that would be really, really, really helpful.
Well, the ships have remote pilots who are, well, what the remote pilot crew on Bayern are obviously running the space drones to keep the observation up and running. The ones on Anton Dorn and Entdecker can help you.
Yeah. Okay, so, because my thought is, you know, if we can just basically just have a whole, let's map out as big a network as we can. what I'm after really is if I can get eyes throughout one of those maintenance, you know, the back end maintenance areas, that would be absolutely fantastic. You know, because it would be quite nice to get a hole of those donuts and then the area.
Yeah, maybe we can extrapolate
the area inside it to get an idea of what overall is around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is hence why I'm asking him for a whole shedload of drones.
Yeah.
And a whole shedload of operators.
You get at least three or four more.
Cool. Okay, that's fine. I will.
If you tell us what to do, basically, we can give it a go.
Well, no, I mean, we'll talk to the operators first. Let's use the professionals first. I mean, these guys are going to be better than me by a long way.
Not professional drone operators.
And basically, I'll say, you know, the standard thing that we do, that the Marines do. So you basically go, get to a junction, leave one thing there, send them left and right. The one that's being left, you keep it on a surveillance thing, but obviously you're no longer monitoring it. But it's basically, the main thing is it's receive and relay.
Sure.
So that you allows you to keep running signal throughout the whole length of the ship.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, normally after about dropping about four or five off, people are, you know, the enemy will realise what you're doing and start shooting at you. But in this case...
Ah, data!
Yes. In this case, I'm kind of quite hopeful that they're not planning on doing that to us.
Incidentally, you have not at any stage during this picked up a signal from that drone you sent in with the selenium sample.
No.
Hmm.
Well, I am kind of thinking that it's probably been chomped. It's probably been chomped.
Can't you recall it? I guess not without a signal.
Correct. No. I mean, you can broadcast a recall signal, but if nothing shows up, then...
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, what we could potentially do is do it again, but with enough of the micro drones throughout to be able to then keep running a signal through.
Yeah, no, as Mason says, put it on a cable.
The problem with cables is cables have a tendency to snag, cables have a tendency to snap.
Fishing line?
I mean, you've got
that, to... That is basically optical data fiber.
I mean, to
right
be
there,
fair,
so.
But to be fair, I am, from Jethro's point of view, he is more used to actually sticking these in once they've put a breaching mine on the hull.
Oh, I bet
and
he
there's
is.
There's normally some quite sharp bits at that point, so cables don't go very well with sharp things.
Can't you use hard space cables?
Well, then the cable is fatter and less flexible, and
yeah, you really do need to read the Ringworld stuff by Larry Niven.
I read Ringworld, but I was so annoyed by his assumption that everyone would say tange when they hit their thumb with a hammer. That
yeah,
I couldn't
sci-fi
get
swearing,
much beyond the...
I don't know if anyone's actually done a thesis on it, but it's a thing. It really is quite
I think it may be the worst made-up swear word I've ever encountered.
Really?
And it coloured my... Come on, you need a hard drock or storm or something, not tange.
Frel?
Frel, I like. I could go with
that. You know, science fiction fantasy slang is hard. I mean, Econo Wives, from a well-respected author, is just a term that nobody would ever use.
Mm-hmm.
They would shorten it to something at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
That's my... I completely dismissed Ringworld because of his crappy...
Meanwhile, a greatly respected fantasy author had a character called Tinfang Warble in an early draft which did not reach publication of The Lord of the Rings.
I mean, Tom Bombadil made it through.
There's nothing wrong with Tom bloody Bombadil. Listen, I appear to be something of a
you
Tom
are the
Bombadil
one
apologist.
Tom Bombadil
no, I like
fanboy.
Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, he's just
Tom Bombadil's like brilliant.
He's from a completely different...
Essentially Stephen Stucker in Airplane and Tom Bombadil have a lot in common.
I didn't particularly like him in Airplane, not because they both like
very bright clothing and have outgoing personalities.
And seems to be in a different, entirely different show.
He did his own dialogue and actions, and they said they couldn't really write anything for him, so just, you know, do what you want to do, Steve. You will anyway.
So,
right, where have we got to then? We are we're bringing over a load more drones, and we have three or four more drone operators. Yeah. Do we need to actually be there? I mean, I don't want to sound cowardly, but
you can operate them nearly as well from aboard Entdecker.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Can't we just watch the Lieutenant Gorman?
Depends. I mean, if I'm there, I can react.
I called this drone Hits.
Hudson, sir. He's sick.
It's asleep again.
Really want to find out where
Elliot really loved that.
Where the data is coming from.
Yes, yeah, I think that's a priority. What is the source of this data? And then maybe, what data is it?
Mm. Well, we need to map out those maintenance areas.
Okay, let's crack on with that then.
Okay, so I will elide this to some extent, because basically...
we will go over purely and simply because once they've actually done the mapping... We will probably want to react.
You're
to
just feeling guilty that you're not engaging with
what's
the adventure.
All this
we understand.
You don't want to send your men into a situation you wouldn't go into yourself, even if your men are, you know, 8 inches across and have little claw legs.
Your Honour.
So, what you've got in these machinery spaces, and what one of the things that makes this easier is after a bit you see, yes, these are basically done as independent modules, that the design is duplicated around the rings.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing you could call a crew space. There's no, you know, bunk rooms or a bridge or recreation space or anything like that. It is all working space.
Mm-hmm.
There are pretty clearly from the data connections computers that seem to be sending out control information to all sorts of other things, including the mobile robots. There's a lot of repair and maintenance, and indeed constructing whole new things if necessary.
Like I say, it's multiple redundancies all the way throughout the whole ship.
Yeah. I mean... You don't know that this ship doesn't have FTL capability, but if it is, as it appears to be, a Bussard ramjet with perhaps a journey time of the order of hundreds of years, this certainly looks like something that ought to be able to survive that.
Well, and the rest sort of thing, to be honest.
Yeah. And then the central section is, you know, power distribution. Yeah, there are some... reasonably effective looking fission reactors, great big magnets.
Great big magnets.
For hauling around the interstellar hydrogen.
Okay.
Now, nothing seems to have been reacting to the micro drones as they go through this space.
Okay.
You have not seen anything like, I was going to say human, but the double squiddy things that you met in being removed from one of the eggs, you have not seen anything like them. There are various models of robot, but that's basically all you've met that's mobile.
Okay.
Well, looks like we've got our map of the machinery. I vote we go questing for data.
I do feel it's the next obvious move.
It actually seems reasonable.
Go to the next data node, then.
Mm-hmm. Where, or the biggest, you know, the easiest one we can actually get to, that I basically can get Dr. Radish there without him basically face planting all the way along or something like that.
Yeah, well, he is not in a heavy armoured suit the way you are, so.
No. To be fair, I am at least trained in this.
Mm-hmm.
I am quite dexterous, actually, don't you? Yeah.
Are you?
No. I'm quite strong.
Strength will make up for dexterity any time, as long as the environment you are in is forgiving.
Space, for example.
Made of cheese rather than steel.
With a breathable atmosphere. Yeah.
A breathable atmosphere.
Wow.
that's another Dr. Radish specialty.
That's my thesis I'm working on.
Yeah. Some sort of sentient gas giant, perhaps.
I'm going to stick my dick in it.
Well, the good news is that was a
reference to a William Shatner meme rather than.
The good news is the auto seal in your suit. Well, let's just stop there.
please, let's go and find some data.
Was that not the kind of data you were looking for?
No. So, I mean, you can certainly get access to one of the compute nodes, no problem at all there.
Mm-hmm. What can we do with this? I do have electronics computers.
Okay, well, what do you want to do?
I want to... Is there some kind of actual computer-type device?
There is certainly something that a lot of data are flowing in and out of.
Okay.
There's nothing approximating a screen or keyboard or anything like that.
So, assuming that it kind of follows similar precepts to our fibre optics, we will have brought fibre optic you know, the thing where you basically you cut into it, you put the mirror around,
splice kit,
you split it so that basically you can read what's going on and then basically put it back again.
I have also used these things, yes.
There's a proper term for it, but my brain really isn't.
We always called them splice kits.
Yeah, get a splice kit and see if we can take them. I'm going to suggest that Felix takes a minor looking feed, so not one of the big main ones, but one of the minor ones, and see if he can have a go with the splice kit on the actual.
Yeah, I mean, mostly what you're seeing here is a whole load of tiny cables bundled up into a few large ones for convenience of running through ducts. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Extracting one individual fibre is not hard.
Yeah.
Document as closely as possible, you know, anything technological looking, you know, the box that all this stuff is running through, etc. For analysis later.
Yeah, I remember, I can't remember who the player was now, but he came up with the phrase, the sort of recording that includes phrases like, I am now going to turn the top screw half a turn to the left.
Yes, this is exactly what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Okay.
Four joules.
So you can definitely get a copy of some of the data stream.
Does it continue?
Yes.
Okay, so that's an interesting thing.
Let's see. It is not using anything like the full capacity of this fibre, though probably it's as small as you can get the fibres to be. Mm-hmm. This is a thoroughly alien protocol.
Mm-hmm.
That said... Yeah, it's sending out a lot of packets that look quite similar except for one bit that's changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting back packets that look quite similar except for several bits that have changed.
Okay.
Give me an actual roll.
Spoils.
What stat is this off?
Inter-edu.
That's a 12.
Okay. That definitely looks like some sort of note 1973, tell me your status, and here is the status.
Okay.
What the actual status indicates, what the nodes are, Yeah, you can't map that.
Yeah. But, okay, so that seems to be getting updates. Either might be just a timed, regular check-in. It might be doing some kind of system scan of all the nodes.
Well, you have an ongoing tap. After a bit, you'll start seeing some of the outgoing packets repeat in some respects, but not in others. So maybe that's an ID number.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's not enough data to be transmitting a lot more than that.
Well, this is one tiny thread of a huge fiber optic bundle.
Okay.
That said,
if we multiplied that up for all the nodes, well, we don't know what a node is or how big it is, do we?
Well, you can multiply the traffic you're seeing on this cable by the approximate number of cables in this bundle.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to get, yeah.
And let's see. That is at least within an order of magnitude of one twelfth, which is roughly what this machine seems to be repeated in at as an interval of one ring worth of pods. The count of distinct IDs would be similar.
So it seems to be. It doesn't look like there's a lot of room in there for a ton of data coming in and out.
So there's no. So maybe my idea of VR is probably not right, but it is some form of monitoring of.
Yeah. But that's kind of what we thought it might be doing anyway.
Yeah. Well, good to have it confirmed.
Yeah. Then why is it making so much extra cable then? Why didn't they build
it? It seems to be
this
trying to reconnect bits because there was damage to part of it, so some of the connections have been severed.
Okay. And that's so all it's doing.
It's just trying to reconnect the network as far as we can tell.
Yeah, okay.
Now, what happens when it's successfully reconnected to the network, if anything?
Neurons.
To know. Who are you calling neurons?
Maybe this doesn't look much like a neural network.
Does it look like they are connecting everything to everything else? I'm just thinking, actually, funnily enough, actually, neural net was what exactly.
Well, the impression you're getting is much more hierarchical.
It's almost like a decision tree type.
Yeah, here is the central node which is sending out things and then getting information back. It looks as if quite often what they're trying to do is run an individual fiber all the way from here to the things it's controlling, rather than having routers and switches and things.
Yes,
that's a hypothesis, but it seems to be consistent with what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't. If all it's doing is connecting the. Making sure all of these pods have some connection to some central data checkup, maybe health monitor.
It would be interesting to know if the pods go to other central nodes. So, in other words, can a pod talk to more than one node?
Well, that's when you start to get something like a network, isn't it? But yeah, can we figure that out from?
Well, What you've seen in terms of tracing cables, you had that one of the newly laid cables was being T-junctioned and connected to an entire row of pods, and then a bit further on another entire row of pods, and so on. Now, whether that means they just want to be reasonably parsimonious on their cables, or whether that means they decide to talk to each other, you can't really say.
Doesn't feel like that's how you'd. I don't know. Maybe that is how you would do it, but it seems unlikely.
What? Okay, Felix, having made the computer roll, what you would do if you were doing this with human tech is you would have some sort of switch that says, okay, the traffic between the pods in this row just goes to and from here, and then if they want to talk to something else, it goes through the switch to the main data bus and then to somewhere else.
Yeah, I explained this to Dr. Roach.
That doesn't seem to be what's happening.
No. It's almost like the it's almost like it's, oh my god, it's star topography. Sorry, that will only Roger will understand that, and only Roger will understand the unmitigated hell that actually they could actually be trying to do.
You have to search the entire ship for the token.
I think that's what we have been doing. So this, to me, is from my analysis here, my understanding of what we're seeing is there is not, in fact, something producing huge quantities of data.
No.
That we can locate.
It doesn't look that way.
Yeah, it is spread throughout the ship. It is just all of the data for all of these pods. And it seems to be just...
Pods and maybe other things too. But yeah.
Lots of individual small devices basically going, are you functioning? How are you functioning?
That's what it seems to be, just updates. A sort of repair system and monitoring system.
It's the Internet of Things.
Judging by the way you can see parts of a packet changing, other parts not, you're guessing this is not encrypted or authenticated.
Mm.
So, basically, CAN bus rather than anything more serious.
Could the damage be more severe? Like, why is it just...
I'm sure we could make it worse, yeah.
Like, is it... Does it seem more than you would just get from maintenance? What has done all this damage?
We should go and have a look at the damage part.
Yeah, I don't know, on a ship this size, is the amount it's pumping out,
I thought the damage part was something like space debris or something, I'm sure.
Well, that's what I was assuming, but could it be something pretty catastrophic happening?
Does it seem odd that a ship with that kind of arrangement internally wouldn't have something that would stop it from getting hit by space debris?
Yeah... I think,
unless this is, you know, maybe they've gone, you know what, building a system which will for hundreds of years detect and deflect or whatever space debris is too difficult. Maybe the countermeasure is being repairable.
I am not a spaceship designer, but my understanding is that when a ramjet is running, most of the stuff is actually is funneled down into the middle.
Right.
So the likelihood of anything actually hitting it on the side or anywhere else is almost nil. Is very well, not almost nil.
That's what, is it worth finding out what's done all this damage? Something's gone wrong because sitting here.
Okay, so what appears to have gone wrong is that it's slowed down and it's been hit here.
Or did it get hit then couldn't?
None of you, I think, is really a ship-to-ship combat expert, but Jethro at least has seen a lot of ships that have been in ship-to-ship combat, often quite recently. Mm-hmm.
Lots of big holes in them.
So, what skill do you reckon you have that would be relevant to this?
Tactics, naval.
No, I'm afraid, guys.
Maybe.
Interpret GM's comment about space battles.
Tactics, naval. I would have thought.
I'll give it a go. See what we get.
It's probably the most logical.
You can have that all into Reggie.
So 12 then.
Okay. Okay, so this is definitely collision with an object of some sort. There's no sign that... That may be what may have slightly thrown you at first. It does look as if things exploded. Oh. But relativistic speeds.
Yeah.
You collide with a speck of dust, it explodes.
Yeah.
You are the kinetic weapon, unfortunately. It suddenly looks as if it's a lot of, if a particular section is damaged in one bundle, then often the damage will spread directly backwards from that to the next bundle or two, suggesting that it was happening at speed.
Mm.
And you're not seeing one that's, you know, hit a ring and then got onto three adjacent rings.
Yeah.
See, so that would mean we're thinking it stopped because of damage. Yes, putting that, all of its efforts in to repair them.
Well, that it seems to be desperately trying to repair.
And my thought is that they've just physically run out of selenium in this system.
And does this in some way relate to the thing in the cubbyhole thing?
Mm-hmm.
The creature in the glory hole. I just don't know quite how we refer to it.
Let's not refer to
the
it.
The slime.
Like.
You mean the Gru?
The Gru,
not the slime. Separate thing. So there's
possibly hypothetical Gru.
So there's possibly at least two life forms.
Possibly they could be the same.
Yeah.
For all we know, that slime thing could be a ship's defense.
Right, but so there is possibly two forms. Okay, there are octopoids in the pods.
Yeah.
There is also a slimy thing. Which could be a different, maybe it's a different instar of the octopoids, who knows? But it's a different form, at least. Different life form. There's also the purely hypothetical Gru.
Purely hypothetical.
Purely hypothetical.
I wouldn't say it was purely hypothetical, I would say it was inferred.
The inferred Gru. I would like to ask our boffins who did the bioanalysis of the slime to tell us about selenium content in the slime.
Very low.
Very low. Okay, so it's not that this thing has been sucking all the selenium out of something. Okay, that was... I've seen some Star Trek episodes, I'm just saying.
Well, it could be. If that thing is a delivery system to remove selenium and transport it, it presumably wouldn't retain it. It may or may not tell us anything.
In Triplanetary, there were idiots who sucked the iron out of spaceships and human bodies.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah. At great distances.
Yeah.
Bless them.
So they were magnets then, were they?
Yeah. It's alright, they get the lens, it's okay.
It's fine that they destroy entire cities because, you know, they're just men like all of us. They destroy a few of our cities and murder millions of people. We destroy a bunch of their cities and murder millions of their species. And, you know, then we understand each other.
Then you all go out for a beer.
Then we all go out for a beer. Yeah, it's very much that vibe.
Irradiated beer.
Yeah.
Does any of this feel like progress to anyone?
No.
What is progress? I mean, you know.
I think we're,
whatever this is, it's the opposite of that.
No, you see, I think we've eliminated a lot of negatives.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Possibly, yes. I mean, there may still be quite a few out there.
Yeah. New question.
Should we just bugger off?
No, let's contemplate the inferred Gru.
Yep.
If there is a Gru on this ship, how would we determine that?
We would have a good look in that. I mean, we know that they're shoving organic material in there, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, as far as we know...
Wait, are we calling it a glory hole, or is it?
I thought you said you weren't.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
Now you seem that you kind of want to, but it's only if your mates back you up on it.
Can we force the sphincter on the orifice?
You can have a look.
Did we get an idea of how it was opened? I think it was manipulated by the robot.
The robot came up to it, it opened, the robot put a thing in. There may have been a radio signal, it's hard to be sure.
You know, wiggle a fibre optic camera in there. Grease one up. It's the polite thing to do.
I'm going to do a leave orifice alone.
Dibble leave orifice alone.
Not every time, no. I mean, I know we repeat ourselves a lot, but...
Yeah, you said that already.
We've not had any luck tracking down the slime.
None
at all.
As I thought, while you've been flooding the machinery spaces with drones, you have seen no sign of the slime at all.
Uh-huh.
And none of the drones have been suddenly unaccounted for.
Indeed.
Now, you see, that I find more interesting than anything else, because I would have thought, with this much things and going bits and pieces, that the robots, I'm surprised they didn't see this as a threat.
Have we damaged anything?
No.
Well, that's what I mean.
They're repair bots, really, aren't they?
I think they've got very limited protocols.
Yeah, apart from when we did the data shunt. No, that's the only time.
Which is not stopping stuff getting through.
No.
There might be a bit of signal attenuation, but you know, what they send through is still getting through to where they're sending it.
Yeah. I'm not being funny about it.
I bet if you actually chopped a cable, that would have a reaction.
I'm not suggesting we try,
but I'm pretty certain that would cause a reaction based on what happened when we moved one of the pods.
Yes.
And it may not provoke a violent reaction or treat us as anything, really. It might not. They may not understand the concept of we're under attack from something from outside. They're just, you know, oh, there's a break in the cable, we'll repair it. So the pod's been moved, we make sure it's in its right place.
Run routine 73.
Except that it was intelligent enough to ask for the selenium.
Yes, but that isn't the same as regarding us as a threat that caused any problems, even though we were standing right there trying to wrench the pod off the wall.
It understood that it needed to communicate with us, and it understood that it needed to ask us for selenium, please.
Yeah, but I don't think that impacts on whether or not it's viewing us as a threat, would react to the drones being here if they're not doing anything.
It's more the fact that that implies that it's higher than just maintenance. There is a higher level above that.
Maybe, but then again, replenishing the selenium would appear to be a maintenance priority.
That seems to be the main priority.
It's not going very far outside of what we already know it does.
The other thought as well, and this is probably a question I should have asked when we first...
Before you signed up.
No, when we first encountered this thing. Is there, going into the solar system, an area where there is obviously signs of this thing coming through? So in other words, an area where the sort of particle density in space is lower and so on and so forth. I suspect the answer might be no, because I suspect the answer is it's been here quite a long time.
Yeah, given the way your little mechanics tend to spread things up if they're of any size, I don't think you could pick up on that.
Yeah. I was just thinking, is there a way to actually work out where it came from?
Not unless we get the whole Star Trek thing of the only bit of debris has NASA written on it.
I think we don't know where it was. Yeah.
It's going to have to be a problem for next time.
Whether we try and find the crew, and if so, how?
I agree, but I'm blaming John's character for that.
Well, we've got, I think, 3 weeks now to work out.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I will be away for the next two sessions.
So you can be absolutely certain that each and every one of us will be bending our formidable intellect towards solving that one.
I mean, I expect nothing less.
Oh, wait, I'm not here next week. But otherwise, we're solid. I'm in York.
Right, Riddles and John. We need to discuss some other time.
Yeah. Okay.
Indeed. Thank you.
Anyway,
thank you.
Cheers, Roger.
See you when I get back.
Yeah. Cheers, bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.